All right, so tonight, go to the first slide. Tonight's question, I sort of changed it a little bit, but it is, why did Jesus do miracles? Seems like a pretty good question, doesn't it? Why did Jesus do... Oh, we've got some thoughts already about why... Well, what do you think, Colton? No, you had another comment or something? Or okay. Okay, Miranda? Yeah.
To heal people. To make
sure that they believe in them. Okay. Yeah. No, I think you're exactly right. Yeah, you're definitely there. That's good. Right. Last week we talked about Jesus being the Messiah. So how in the world did they know he was going to be the Messiah? Is he just supposed to tell them, or was there something like more powerful that was going to happen? And it turns out there are these miracles that he did. We're going to talk about those a little bit tonight. So my first, go to the next slide, Liana. So imagine this. Have you ever wondered what it would be like to maybe go to a different school? What if you had to go to a different school next week or something, or next year? You knew, like when you ended your school grade this year, the next one you were going to have to go to a whole different school or something. That happens for some people. And so imagine what kind of things would you be expecting? I bet you'd have all kinds of ideas about maybe how it would be, and you just sort of think about that. Now here, what about this? So like you spent all summer kind of thinking about, oh, it's going to be like this or that. I remember, you know, when I went from elementary school to middle school, it's like, boy, this is a big deal. And then when you go to middle school to high school, oh man, that's like, what is going on? And you just got all these ideas about what it's going to be like and everything. Well, do you think that the way you imagined it is going to be exactly like the way it is? Probably not, right? Probably not. Maybe some things would be right. Like, yeah, like if you sort of knew that how they did some of that stuff, you might be able to guess at how some of it will go. But there's a lot of stuff you would never know. Like you wouldn't know beforehand that you were going to have to sit by that annoying guy or something, or that you were going to have that teacher that was really good or something, and you didn't realize that maybe you liked history as much as you did, but you had like just the right kind of teacher or something, or who knows what would happen. But it would be hard for you to imagine all that beforehand. Well, anyway, the people in Israel had a lot of expectations about who the Messiah was going to be, what he was going to do when he got there. Because all the prophets had talked about, hey, one day this guy is going to come, the Messiah, and boy, things are going to change then. And they, you know, they spent years and years and years and years thinking about this. I mean, you have to wait like a whole year for Christmas or something. That takes forever. But imagine waiting, you know, years and years and generations even. Like waiting for something your parents were talking about, and their parents were talking about, and their parents were talking about. Man. And so you have all these ideas about what it might be. And then Jesus shows up. Now go to the next slide. Here's like some of their ideas about what it might be like when the Messiah came. And they sort of had this idea. Some of them had this idea that, oh boy, we are the people of Israel. Everybody else better look out, because there's going to be some serious business that goes down when the Messiah gets here. And we're going to be the best nation in the world, and we're going to be in charge of everything. And if you read the Old Testament, some of those prophets, there's a little bit of that in there. Like somehow, maybe not conquering everybody necessarily, but certainly being extremely important, fixing different things, and maybe at least releasing them from the grip of the Romans. So we had sort of talked about some of that before. And so they had a lot of ideas about what it was going to be like when Jesus came, or when the Messiah came. They didn't know it was going to be Jesus, but they were going to find out. So now I'm going to, I had a couple of verses here. And these verses are about John the Baptist. Here's a little bit of, you remember John the Baptist? What did he do? Who remembers something about John the Baptist?
He baptized people in the Jordan River.
He baptized people in the Jordan River. And who was maybe the most famous person that he baptized? Isaac? Jesus, yeah. That's right. He baptized Jesus. And he said, look, there's the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. He really believed in Jesus, didn't he? He knew that Jesus was the Messiah. But later on, John said some, he said some hard things to some of the leaders, and they put him in jail. So John had to be in jail for a while. Later on, he was executed even. But he was in jail, and he didn't really have much hope of getting out anytime soon. And he thought, this doesn't seem like what it would be like when the Messiah came. Why am I sitting in jail? What's going on here? And he got to thinking, is that Jesus, guy? Is he really the Messiah? And so he got his friends to go and ask Jesus about it. So here's what it says. It says, now when John heard in prison about the deeds of Christ, the things he was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, are you the one who is to come? Or shall we look for another? Is there maybe somebody else that's supposed to be the Messiah? And Jesus answered them, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me. So that's what he told him. So John says, what, are you really the Messiah, or is it somebody else? Maybe like he had some doubts about it. He just wanted to hear Jesus say it, maybe. And Jesus says, don't take my word for it. What do you see? What do you hear about? What are the deeds that are going on? What are the things that are happening? And he talks about these miracles. And by the way, this list of miracles here about the blind and the deaf and the lame, it's very similar to some of the lists in the Old Testament talking about what would happen when the Messiah came. The Old Testament talks about the Messiah healing people's sight and healing the deaf and healing the sick and helping people in prison, helping the poor. All of that stuff is connected to when the Messiah comes. And so Jesus says, look around. It's happening. All right, go to the next slide. Now that brings us to kind of what my question was tonight. What even is a miracle? Now, yeah, I've got kind of a funny little picture here about this. So some people think maybe a miracle, maybe it's kind of like some kind of holy magic trick or something. What is a miracle? Some kind of really impossible thing, maybe, right? Yeah, I think that's what most people's idea of a miracle. Now, a lot of people have this idea, and I sort of had this idea when I was your age. It's like Jesus is sort of doing all these little tricks and things, and he's not tricking. I didn't believe that Jesus was like tricking people. I believe he really was doing those things, like, you know, he's turning the water to wine and he's healing people and causing them to see again. And I believed he was doing all those things, but they just seem like sort of curious kind of things that, you know, like he's just trying to show people, hey, guess what I can do? Have you ever done that before? You're like, hey, watch this thing I can do. And you show somebody your special talent or something and they think, oh man, you're a cool guy. I didn't know you could do that. You know, you click your tongue in some weird way or something. Wow, that's amazing. You know? But so is that what Jesus is doing? Does Jesus just want people to say, well, that's pretty cool. Man, Jesus, you're all right. I mean, maybe it is, you know, I don't know. I'm trying to think about it. It's like, because he does want people to know that he's the Son of God. I think that is part of it. But maybe there's a little bit more to it. One of the things I think Jesus is doing is he is showing people what it's like in the kingdom of God. So you think about the kingdom of God. We talked about, Brother Isaac talked about the kingdom of God a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, a lot of people, some people call it like heaven or something like that. But really, this is talking about God's rule, a time when God is actually ruling and things are going the way that God wants them to go. Right now, things are not going as well as God wants them to go, are they? There's bad things happening all the time. God doesn't want that. And but one day, his kingdom will be here. And so Jesus wanted people to know what that would be like. And so what kind of things would it be like? Well, would there be any blind people in the kingdom of God? No, there won't be any blind people. Think about, and you might be confused about what the kingdom of God is, but I'm talking about when Jesus comes back and when he is restored the creation. And if you're a child of God, you're living there on this restored place in the earth. Will there be any blind people there? No. Will there be any deaf people there? No, there won't be. They might have used to been deaf, but they wouldn't be deaf anymore. Will there be any people with leprosy there? They won't have leprosy there. No. Like I said, they might have had it when they were on, you know, when they were in this life, but after the resurrection, they won't have that. Their bodies will be repaired. Will there be any poor people in heaven? No. I mean, you know, like I said, you know, if you're poor here and, you know, you're in the kingdom of God, yeah, that's fine. But if you're in the kingdom of God, if you're a child of God and you've made it all the way to the kingdom of God, yeah, there's not going to be any poor people there. Everybody is going to be rich because everybody is going to be a child of God. Everybody is going to have a share of the inheritance. You don't have to worry about anything. You won't have to worry about, will there be any hungry people in the kingdom of God? No. And so Jesus is kind of showing people that. He's showing people that one day, you know, your blindness or your problems with not having enough money or not having enough food to eat will not be problems anymore. And that's what everybody wanted, you know. It's like that's, we know there's problems. We know there's things that aren't working out the right way in this world. And Jesus is saying, it's going to be different one day. And this is kind of showing you a little bit like that. All right, go to the next slide. That's a little bit dark, but can you see what that is? All right, it's like a theater. Could be a movie theater, could be like for going to like a play. You ever been to a play before? Yeah, it looks like there's a stage there maybe. Has anybody ever been in a play? Like you've been one of the actors? Yeah, that's pretty fun, isn't it? That's kind of neat. So a lot of people think that heaven is kind of this far-off place and God's very far away from us. And I don't know, that's not true. It's not like you can go walk there or something. But I think it's a little bit more like this. I think it's a little bit more like sitting in a theater waiting for the show. So you got the curtain there, and you're waiting there, and you're looking at the curtain. And what if you were just looking at the curtain, you might be tempted to think, boy, this is kind of a silly show. Well, I don't like this show. But that would be silly to say, right? Because it's not there yet, right? You're just looking at the curtain. Yeah, you're just looking at the curtain. That's not very impressive. And so you're right not to be very impressed by the curtain. But then sometimes, I don't know if you've ever been to some plays, sometimes like you can kind of see the curtain move a little bit because people are back behind there like moving furniture around, or you can hear stuff scooting around. And you think, oh, something's going on back there. You don't really see it, but you can hear it. It's sort of back there. Or maybe what if there was like it was an old kind of curtain that had some holes in it, and you could just kind of see back there a little bit. It feels like in a kind of an old theater. Or sometimes I've been at places where like one of the actors will stick their head out and look around. Or maybe they might even come out and say, oh, attention, I've got to tell you some things before we start. Or maybe tell you about where the exits are or something like that. So that's a little bit like that, I think, with heaven or the kingdom of God. So this world, we have this world and we can see this world. This world is kind of like the curtain. But one day, the curtain's going to be pulled open and there's going to be a whole other world here, a much better world. Then we start, right, exactly. And so right now, sometimes there's cracks in the curtain. Sometimes there's little places where you can kind of get a little glimpse of what it's like in heaven, or what it's like in the kingdom of God. And then sometimes one of the actors comes out, and that's like Jesus coming. It's like, this guy came from the kingdom of God. He's from there, and he's telling us about it. And you could really see about the kingdom of God then. So it's maybe a little bit like that. And then one day, the curtain is going to be taken away, and we'll see all the cool stuff and everything. Yeah, and then we can see it. You know, when Jesus died, a real curtain tore in half. Did you know that? In the temple? Yeah, it really happened, a real curtain. That's sort of like a pretty big symbol for how things in this world from that moment on are starting to pass away. And so the way that this world works starts to not make sense anymore. This world works on the idea that whoever has the most money is the best, whoever has the most power is the best, whoever people like or the most popular is the best. That's the old way that the world works. But God's world works a little bit differently than that. The kingdom of God works differently. The kingdom of God's about putting other people ahead of yourself. And so when Jesus died on the cross, we'll talk about this more next week, this curtain started falling apart, and this world started falling apart, this evil age that we live in, starting to melt away a little bit. Not all the way. You can still see lots of bad stuff happening, but there's more glimpses of what it's going to be like. Go to the next slide. Yeah, that was what it is. So when Jesus died on the cross, he conquered the forces ruling this world, and so they're still here, but they began to lose, and they're still losing. And one day, all the way that the world works now will be completely done away with. Jesus captured all power and authority by dying. That's how he did it. He didn't capture all power and authority by going up there and sitting on a throne. He did it by giving himself up and suffering and dying. And that's how he claimed his kingdom and made it possible. It's pretty remarkable. Now, if you're a believer, we're believers. If you believe in Jesus and you're a child of God, believers gather in churches. This is sort of my last point here. Go to the next slide. Let's see what it is. All right. So does anybody know what Paul calls the church sometimes? That's right. That's exactly what I was looking for. Paul calls the church the body of Christ. So that's kind of interesting. It's almost like we don't even really need miracles anymore. We don't really have a lot of miracles going on necessarily. Although, you know, sometimes, you know, we pray, God heals people. God is taking care of things like that. But as far as like miracles, kind of like Jesus did them, we sort of don't really need that as much because we're supposed to be the miracles in a way. That's kind of weird, doesn't it? So, you know, when Jesus was here and people were hungry, Jesus would maybe do a miracle and feed them. But what about people that are hungry now? Well, I think maybe what should happen is that people that are part of the kingdom of God, we should feed them. We should feed them. We should help them. What about if people are sick? You know, maybe you can study to be a doctor or something, help. Maybe we should, you know, the Christians in the past have built hospitals, things like that, to help them. What about if somebody's poor? What can we do? We can help them. I think we can help them. This says, to the poor, good news was preached. A lot of times, people that are poor, they have a lot of bad news in their life. Like they say, oh, here's another bill. Oh, no, here's that. I was asking for some money, but they said no. And oh, look at this. And it's a lot of bad news. But you know what? If you're a part of a church, you can help bring some good news to people sometimes. So it's not always bad news. And of course, ultimately, we have the best news in the world because we know about Jesus. And we know about the kingdom that they can be a part of if they believe in him. So that's some things that we can do. You see, if we love God and love our neighbors, those are the two things we're supposed to do, right? If everybody did that, it would be a lot like the kingdom of God around here, where people aren't suffering and people aren't hurting. Now, it wouldn't be exactly like that because we're not quite as powerful. It's not quite all the way here yet. We don't quite all the way have the kingdom of God. But we're just supposed to be a little bit of another little crack in that curtain so that people can say, there's something pretty magical going on over that place. There's something pretty interesting going on. Those people are helping them. Those people are making things better. It's almost like they're living in some kind of other kind of world than what we live in. And if you're a Christian, you are. You're living in the kingdom of God, even though you're still kind of stuck here in this world. But you have sort of one foot here in this world and one foot here in the kingdom of God. And then one day, all this part will be washed away and we'll have just the kingdom of God and all its glory. And then God's kingdom will fill the earth. The Old Testament talks about God's glory filling the earth. That's what the goal is. That's what ultimately is going to happen. So in the end, we don't just sort of fly away off to heaven. What happens is heaven comes to earth and becomes one. That's what we read about in Revelation. And so that's the plan. So my question is, are you a part of the kingdom of God? Think about that. Or do you care more about being first and being the best and having the nicest things or the coolest toys? Oof, that's hitting pretty close to home, isn't it? And when you're a grown-up, what about if you just care about money and power and being the most popular? Oh, man. Or are you willing to give yourself up and spend yourself because you value God's eternal kingdom? Man. That's pretty hard. That's what following Jesus is about. It's saying, I don't care about that, you know, having the most money or being the most powerful or trying to make the most of this world the way it is. I'm trying to work for the kingdom of God. That's what it means to follow Jesus. And then you'll be a part of God's kingdom. And one day you'll see it. The curtain will be opened up and man, there it'll be. And it will be so beautiful. All right, that's going to be the end for tonight. All right, let's do our memory verse. Oh, there it is. Okay, one more picture. This is like, I know, this is like my favorite picture of, it's completely made up and there's even like spaceships and stuff in it and it's crazy. But it reminds me of what maybe the kingdom of God might look like one day. I don't know. It's probably the kingdom of God will look much better. But it just sort of makes me think about it a little bit. It just looks like a really cool place, doesn't it? Yeah. Everybody holding hands and doing what they're supposed to do. And it's like the world, but much, much better. That's what it's about. Yeah.